Some sunny news now. The cost of solar panels is falling rapidly, a 60% drop in the last 3 years, according to industry analysts. And that means a lot more solar is popping up on rooftops around the country. All this comes as the United States is trying to find better ways to protect our power system from blackouts. But as Dan Boyce from member station KUNC reports, more solar does not really mean fewer blackouts, at least not yet.
You look at the forests on the mountainous edges of southwestern Colorado's San Luis Valley, and you see this dull orange hue, broad swaths of dead trees killed by the spruce beetle. When Larry Floyd started fighting fires here in the mid-1990s, conditions were different.
We didn't have a severe drought. We didn't have as much bug kill.
So there is a lot more wildfire fuel out there, those dry, dead trees. That's a concern for the tiny town of Del Norte. The San Luis Valley itself is open and flat and pretty much a desert, and Del Norte's kind of plopped right in the middle of it, far from the forests. But the town's public works supervisor, Kevin Larimore, says there is a risk to the power supply.
Most of the valley is actually served off of one line coming in the valley.
One major line coming in through the mountains, through the forests.
If that line was to go down, then most of the valley, I think, would lose electrical power.
Del Norte, though, it's covered in solar panels.
They're at the town hall, town shop, and at the police department.
Great! Since they're generating all this power, Del Norte's ready for a wildfire, right? Well,
if there's a wildfire that knocks out the power infrastructure, these solar panels won't power the town.
No, not to my understanding, they won't.
Weird as it sounds, Del Norte's solar panels are actually dependent on the power grid. And that's how it is with the vast majority of solar panels, says James Newcomb. He's with a renewable energy think tank, the Rocky Mountain Institute in Boulder, Colorado. He gives as an example Hurricane Sandy thrashing the East Coast nearly 2 years ago.
In New Jersey, there are hundreds of megawatts of solar power.
During Sandy, there were widespread blackouts, sometimes for weeks. But all those solar panels? Nothing.
Because it's been connected to the grid in a way that it can't operate if the grid isn't up.
And it's ticking off community planners to have to stare out at rooftop after rooftop of useless solar panels during these blackouts. James Newcomb says it has been set up this way on purpose for safety.
So we typically have built the grid and operate it as one big system.
And if you have a bunch of workers out fixing power lines after a blackout, the lines need to be dead. There can't be a bunch of solar energy running up the wires the wrong way. But Newcomb says it is possible to fix that.
And the transition that we're now talking about is one that makes it possible to operate some smaller pieces of the grid independently.
What he's talking about are
microgrids.
Little tiny grids. And these could allow you to power not only your town's water supply, but maybe an emergency shelter or the hospital. To create a microgrid, you need what are called smart inverters that sense when the larger grid has gone down and lock off the part that needs to be fixed. It could then use the local solar panels to power emergency services.
Yeah, if we can go back here, I'll show you the inverter for the system.
Del Norte, Colorado still has dumb inverters. So they have to rely on a diesel generator to back up at least the town's drinking water. But the technology to create microgrids is advancing. Green Mountain Power, a utility in Vermont, is working on what it says is a first-of-its-kind microgrid powered entirely by solar panels. For NPR News, I'm Dan Boyce.
Dan's story came to us from Inside Energy, a public media collaboration focusing on America's energy issues.